Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Still going strong. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, He's so good. And I can, you know, when a dad is proud of their kid, like, I can just feel that in the room tonight. He's just so proud of every one of his kids, not just in here, but I can feel his love reaching out and reaching into his beloved. And I'm seeing this equipping that's taking place, and it's effortlessly. It's him doing it. You know, we have to come to the realization that we can't do it for him, that he's already done it for us, and then we get to be used with him for his good pleasure to help others. Does that make sense? And I feel like, you know, I don't have a message. You guys know me by now. I don't have a message. Nothing. Not one word. And so, you know, it's funny because I don't care anymore, you know, because it's really his meeting. And I don't have an agenda. And, you know, as I was worshiping, I would... He would tell me things, and then I would think, oh, that's what we're going to preach on. But I still don't have the word of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes that can be uncomfortable for people because they expect something from someone. But I feel like the Lord is like challenging us in a way to let him really be Lord in every area of our lives. And it's an opportunity to come into a closer walk with him, a closer walk with thee. And, you know, my mind has a million things. None of them are from him, okay? So to learn the difference is huge. And I feel like this is like a teachable moment because there's nothing worse than when a preacher doesn't have nothing to preach on. And it's not that I don't, but I feel like he's using this for us to use every day in our life as a walking testimony or of how things really operate in the kingdom of God. And did you just feel that click? Did you just catch that? You know, there it is. That's the message. And I'm done. No, I'm kidding. He's so fun. You know, my heart's cry is for everyone to know how fun he is. He is like the biggest jokester out there. And I love a good joke. When he gives you a one-liner, they're the best. And they're like, only God could, you know, is that creative. And so, anyway, back to learning to abide in his presence all the time in a place of rest. You know, earlier I heard the scripture, you know, you catch him in the spirit, labor to enter his rest. And, you know, we preach on this all the time. Everything we do is out of a place of rest. Yet some people are clueless what that really means because they measure it against their resting ability in the natural. And it's completely opposite. It's you can't even measure with that measuring stick because it's a spiritual matter. And you're a spiritual being that has spiritual authority to rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. But if you don't know how it is in heaven, you'll never be able to rule and reign on earth. And so God's teaching us tonight the difference. And so oftentimes he uses example with me because that's how I'm easily able to learn. Other people can read it in a book and catch it. I'm one of those people, if you give me the diagram, I'll go straight for the picture first, and if I don't catch it through the picture, then I'll read step one, step two. And oftentimes they're not right, and there's frustration because you follow the plan and then it's still wrong. See, in God's plan, it's never wrong. He's always right. And so there's this thing called clicking back or learning how to enter his rest. And I really feel like now more than ever we need to get this because, you know, I don't know if he wants me to go there. Yes. The season has changed again. Hello, we're in a new season. And sometimes I feel like we're on like the tilt-a-whirl or something, you know. Whoa, now we're in this season. Whoa, now we're in this season, you know. And But really, it's really a good season. They're always good seasons in God because it's an opportunity to develop our spiritual muscles. And one of the things that we must do is we must exercise our spiritual language. And I know some of you in here do not have the gift of tongues, although you're born again, spirit-filled, and you have all the giftings inside of you. Boy, I'm going to have to get a new Bible one of these days. This is Old Faithful. This is the Preach Bible. It only comes out when I preach. I got to read something to you. It's actually not in the Word, but I wrote it in. I think I got this from Kenneth Copeland about 100 years ago or maybe two. One of the, you know, it doesn't matter. And it says, why I pray in tongues. Even if you don't know how to pray, by praying in the Spirit, you can pray the perfect prayer. That's Romans 8:26. Two, praying in tongues enables you to talk to God about aspects of His will that are hidden from your understanding. That's 1 Corinthians 14:2. Three, praying in tongues builds you up spiritually so that you're strong enough to do what God has called you to do. Jude 1:20. Four, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit teaches you and refreshes you. Isaiah 28:11 and 12. Five, if you pray daily in other tongues, God can prepare you for challenges in advance. So you'll never be without an answer. Proverbs 16:1. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about number five. If you pray daily in other tongues, and if you use your prayer language, God can prepare you for challenges in advance, so you'll never be without the answer. Now, I love the walk of the Spirit because I know what that means. Some people hear, oh, walk of the Spirit, yeah, I'm Spirit, yeah. Listen, it is a exercise, walk of the Spirit, a choice you do every day. And you go in and out, in and out, in and out until you're in. And what I want to tell you is one of the easiest ways to build your spiritual muscles is to pray in tongues. Now, the devil hates when you pray in tongues because he doesn't understand it. He knows that your muscles in the Spirit start to grow and your discernment will grow and you'll hear and you'll decree a word of the Lord in the hour and the enemy will flee. And so he doesn't want that. So what's your excuse for not praying in tongues today? Were you too busy? Do you not have the language yet? Did you forget you had the language? I'm messing with you guys. Listen, this is a challenge and a shakening. We have to. We're in a season where we have to develop and strengthen our frame spiritually. Because what you see in the natural is a direct result of what's happening in the spirit realm. It happens there first before it comes and is in the earth. And, you know, the Lord gave me a dream about 2 weeks ago. And in the dream, there was this evil attack, a plan of the enemy that was hatched. And it was a large gathering of people outside like a city. And I saw this young man who had this gun. It looked like a Jetsons gun. You remember the Jetsons from the old TV show, the cartoon? So it was kind of like a, you know, back in that day, that would have been a high-tech gun. Now that's not a high-tech gun, and they actually have guns like that. Okay, back in those days, there wasn't even, that was like an imagination. And with this gun, it was like kind of weird, and the guy's job was to point it at a satellite dish, and then it would release the next thing. And I don't know what the next thing was, and I saw the guy, and nobody else saw him but me. And I went over, and I started to befriend him. And I started witnessing to him, but I wasn't witnessing like, you must be saved or you're going to go to hell. It was more like I was releasing love in, you know, I was like releasing the Father's love into this young man. And I was engaging, and he was listening to what I had to say. And he was so occupied with what I had to say, or preoccupied with what I had to say, he forgot to point the gun at the laser thing. And so as I was talking to him, I was reasoning with him, because he had no soundness of mind before I started reasoning with him. And so what was happening was God was imparting wisdom into him. God was showing him that he is a valuable human being, and that God actually has a purpose for his life. And what he's doing is not the purpose for his life. And the guy was like, in the spirit, he was like brittle, dried up, and emancipated. He just was like, you know, nothing. But as I was loving on this guy, he started to grow and get life, like real life, like the holy life. And it was almost like he thought it was too good to be true. And as I kept talking to him, I paid attention to him. I gave him full attention. And when I did this in the dream, it foiled the plan of the enemy. And the guy on the other side, they all started scrambling, because they were mad, because the guy, the low man, you know, the imp, who is a nobody to them, and if you look around the world, there's a lot of people like that who are just misfits that just don't know the love of the Father. And if somebody would love on them, they'd come into the kingdom, and you don't even have to make them say the sinner's prayer, because they encounter Jesus and the love of God, and then there's this total, you know, 180. And so everybody was scrambling because the guy didn't do his assignment. And then I woke up, and I was like, Lord, what does that dream represent? You know, so what did I do? Did I analyze it? No, I prayed in tongues. And the reason why I pray in tongues is because I have no clue what to say or what to do, but the Holy Ghost inside me does. And so that's one of the reasons why I pray in tongues. And so as I prayed in tongues over this assignment that I saw by the enemy, I'm sure it got foiled. I'm sure in the spirit that got taken out. And oftentimes in the spirit, if we pay attention to what's going on in the spirit, we will not have some of the trials in the earth. But people are so carnal and focused on the latest, oh my gosh, did you hear the latest bad report? I'm telling you, whose report are you going to believe? See, the enemy wants us to come in alignment and speak the latest bad report. And I have to watch myself too, because some of it's pretty creepy. It's like, it's as though it reminds me of the Batman movie. You know, the old Batman movie before they got real creepy. You know, the ones where, you know, the evil mastermind, really, it's the guy that got picked on all his life, and you know, he wants to rule the world. Well, it's no different today, but only it's not a cartoon, and it's playing out. But where is it playing out? It's playing out in the spirit realm. And so our assignment as kingdom ambassadors is to take this stuff out. I don't know of an intercessor who's not been given an assignment. If you're an intercessor and you don't have an assignment, I think you're backslid. Did I just say that? Yeah, I did. And I'm saying it to shake you, to wake you, to get you back in where you're supposed to be. Now, we all get lazy once in a while and backslide. I backslide every day. Hello? Every day I backslide. Does that mean I'm in sin? No, it just means I didn't have my focus on Jesus. There's an ebb and flow. So don't think backslidden, someone is in sin, committing adultery. I'm saying if we're not pushing in and pressing in, we have a tendency to backslide because of gravity and nature, the fallen nature. But see, we can learn to push through and front slide and be ahead and be seated in heavenly places where we're sharp as a razor and able to take down the strongholds, take out the stuff that is assigned to us to take out, whether it's through a dream or whether it's through a scripture or whether it's through a prayer assignment, whatever it is. And one of the sad things I see in the body of Christ is, let so-and-so do it. They're good at it. Well, how do you think they got good at it? They weren't born good at it. You have to pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And so many, many, many Christians are fat and flabby in the spirit because they won't pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. They want Joe to do it. They want Holly to do it. They want Kim to do it. They want Shane to do it. Because our flesh never wants to do it. I don't wake up and go, yay, I'm praying in tongues today. Very rarely do I wake up. And, you know, there is a time when you say, you know, you're sharp and you're like, and you're like, ooh, I got an anointing to pray. And it's not even, I don't even know what it is, but you're aware in the spirit something's going on. So you start praying in tongues. And then pretty soon you see it or hear it or catch it by a picture, or the Holy Spirit will speak it to you. See, that's your true assignment. It's not this, oh, 9-to-5 job. That's just like secondary. That's like, you know, we have it backwards. Many people have it backwards. You know, many people strive to get, a career. You know, they give their all to their work. And I'm not against giving it all, you know, but I give it all unto Jesus. And if he says give it all unto somebody, then I do it. But he's the first one. And we got to come back to the beginning of our first love. Because what happens is we were all sinners. We're saved by grace. We come to the revelation of, oh my gosh, Jesus died for me? That is so huge. And then that's just the beginning. And then there's that thing called lordship and stewardship and dying to your desires, because they're all fleshly, and anything of the flesh is really a work of the flesh, is corruption. It truthfully, some of you are like, boy, this is a downer message. It's the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So our flesh really doesn't have anything good in it. But if you can learn to labor, to enter the rest and live in a place in the spirit, then whatever you do produces life, even by the flesh. So I'm not saying kill your flesh and never live. I'm saying crucify yourself so that Christ lives through you, and then watch what he does through you. See, there's a mixed message of, oh, I'm going to do this unto the Lord. I'm going to do this for God. Well, good luck with that. That's a work of the flesh. But if you say, what are you doing today, Lord, and what do you want me to do? If you can learn to catch your gaze on him and say, what are we doing? You know, help me and show me. And if you start to give him your first attention, he will give you his first attention, because he's got this kingdom law, what you sow, you will reap. And so I like to sow my time and my love to the Father, because I reap his time and his love. And stuff in the natural just gets done. And the old trick, my old trick, the enemy used to trick me, get it done, you got to get it done. Who's going to get this done? If you don't do it, who's going to get this done? And I had to break that thing off me. That was a spirit that was driving me. I could feel it on my neck. I had to break that thing off me, and it wasn't easy. It was like my old best friend, which is a weird, it was like a codependent weird relationship that I had with some weird spirit, okay? Figure that out. But listen, the day came. I'll never forget it. The first time I labored to enter the rest and felt the true Shabbat, the true rest in God, I was like, what was that? Because it was something I never experienced before. You know, people think, oh, rest, I'm just going to not do anything, and, you know, maybe I'll read the word, or maybe I'll sip tea by the pool, and I'm just resting in God. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't happen that way in the beginning. You got to crucify your flesh. You got to come against every thought in your mind, which is all of a sudden you clearly remember the grocery list that needs to get done. All these distractions, these darts of the enemy, you know, that poem that you heard, all of a sudden you think, oh, I can remember the poem. Listen, that's the enemy trying to distract you. And we have to take authority of our mind, and we have to subdue our flesh and then connect with the Spirit of the Father, which dwells inside of us through the Holy Ghost. And so it's important that we start to practice laboring to enter his rest. And like I said, the first time it happened to me, you know, I'm a get-her-done type of girl. I've been that way. I'm not anymore, but that was who I used to be. And so that was a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing was I kept showing up, because I'm a get-her-done kind of girl. You know, I went after the Spirit. I went after the walk of the Spirit. And so when you go after it, you start in the flesh. There's no other way to do it, but there comes a point when you tip in. And so I went to every prayer meeting I could find. Anybody who was praying in tongues, I was praying in tongues with them. And I like praying in tongues, because there's the atmosphere changes where you're at. Now we do it on the phone a lot, but when we met in person, it's powerful. Some of those encounters I had changed my walk in God. Some of the stuff, deliverance just happened, you know, when we get together. And I wasn't like, you know, on the floor wailing. Just stuff starts to leave, or you start to recognize, oh, and then that goes. And so I'm a real big believer in gathering together and praying in tongues. I think it's one of the most important things that you can do to grow your spiritual muscles. And so you know, the obstacles to overcome are time. I don't have time to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you put God first and make a decision, I'm going to start praying in tongues, you'll be amazed at how much time you really have to pray in tongues. And you'll be like, oh, I can pray in tongues and do dishes. Oh, I can pray in tongues and drive my kids to school. Oh, I can pray in tongues and mow the grass. And all this opportunity will come around. I'm driving in a car, I'm praying in tongues. And so build your spiritual muscles. That is the word right now. Build up, because night comes when no man will work. And when that night comes when no man will work, we don't know when that's coming, but it's pushing. And when that happens, will it be too late to develop those spiritual muscles? Because then you'll be under the spirit of fear, because you haven't been able to break free and take authority over the spiritual realm above your house, so to speak, meaning your spiritual house. Because the choice is yours. You can decide, this is not the greatest example, but you can decide the portal that you want to be connected to. And what I mean by that is God's favor and presence is open for all that will seek him. But the enemy is also anybody who is seeking an easier, softer way. It looks so fragrant and smells so good until you are in his dominion. And then the stench is there, then the bondage is there, and then there's the warfare trying to get out of that captivity. And so I'm just saying, now's the time to make a choice. And who are you going to serve? And oftentimes, I'm serving the Lord with all my heart. Oh, really? You know, every word we have to give account for when we cross over, and a yikes. I'm, you know, Lord, mercy, grace, you know. And so I'm just saying that, you know. I don't want to be embarrassed when I have to stand in front of them and say, well, you know, I really did think that decorating my Christmas tree was more important, or whatever. You know, I'm just making that up. But, you know, I'm just saying, he knows our heart. And we need to know our heart, because in our heart is hidden areas that we need to open and then get healed, or open and release because the blessing of the Lord comes. And so with the season that we're in, I often think of military. You know, when you go into boot camp, I don't know if anybody's ever been in the military. Okay. So I haven't, but I have in the spirit realm. And, you know, my boots hurt when I first put them on and laced them up. You know, I'm used to flip-flops, and to have put boots on, and my feet got all hot and sweaty in my military boots. And then, you know, I had to put on this uniform that was tight and crisp and uncomfortable, and then march, 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 march. Why? Why? Well, you never argue with the officer. Your opinion doesn't matter with the officer. And so there's a disciplining of the flesh and a learning of the respect of whose authority are you really under. And so in the spiritual realm, it's no different. Your boots hurt. 5 a.m. still is never fun. If it's 5 a.m. and you're up marching, when I say marching, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And so the other cool thing is, some people say, well, I only have one syllable. You know, I can't pray because I just have one ba, ba, ba. Listen, you want to know how you grow your spiritual language? By use. And people are like, oh, really? Yeah. If you're still on ba, hallelujah, that's better than nothing, right? So don't measure yourself, but to exercise your spiritual muscles, you will develop and grow your spiritual language. And it's wonderful. And there's different dialects that you can tell. You'll start to know when you're doing spiritual warfare, or if you're just worshiping in the spirit with your tongues. There's different flow of your heavenly language. It's not just robotic, okay? And it's not the, you know... I remember hearing many, many years ago, it reminded me of like a little dirt bike. You know, I'm like, what? You know, it's everything is different. All the languages are different, you know. And so I've heard Chinese. I've heard, you know, it looked like ninja stuff was happening in the spirit with that. And so, you know, a spiritual language is a beautiful thing because the Lord has given it to you. And so if you're feeling embarrassed because your sound is a little different than somebody else's, listen, your eyeballs just as different as your sound. So why are you focusing on your language and not your eyeball? Are you believing a lie? You know, and truthfully, it's not about you or your language or your eyeball. It's about him and his glory and his kingdom. And so praying in tongues helps you transition out of your flesh, the way you feel, because you don't want to do this. You're like, I don't want to pray in tongues. I don't want to get up at 5 a.m. But you do it anyway because for his good pleasure. Lord, what, you know, you've given me everything. What, you want me to pray in tongues? Okay. Give me the grace to do it. And if you ask him for the grace, he's not going to give you a stone or a snake. He's going to give you his grace. And so this is a challenge to everyone who's listening to take this to the Holy Ghost and say, will you help me with this? I want to increase my spiritual muscles. What area should I strengthen? What area is flabby? Watching too much TV? Are you checking out at night? Drinking a little too many glasses of wine? You know, the Holy Ghost will be the one who causes it to rise up. And listen, it's not to condemn you. It's to help you come out from under bondage. Because God is free. And everything he has is free because his son paid the price. And you're grafted in as an heir to his kingdom. And so as a royal citizen for the kingdom of God, it is your duty, your right, your privilege, and honor to worship the King of Kings and to be a tool, so to speak, in his belt, or to be a vessel on a shelf that he can pick up and use whenever he pleases. And so, you know, it's not that we're robotic and we have no opinion. It's that you'll fully come alive when you really understand who you are as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so the challenge, I'm challenging everybody, you know, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. This is the hour. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Because you're going to get creative ideas of, oh, I need to do this. I don't know why, but I just know I need to do this. Oh, I need to call so-and-so. Because you're tuned into the Spirit. You're like closing the cap on your natural man and expanding and coming into the realm of his kingdom and his glory where you just know all things. How do you know all things? Because you're spiritual. That is our first nature. We were born born of the kingdom of God. We have God's DNA in us. And so because of the corruption in the world, the second nature tried to take over and counterfeit the original intent of God. And so I'm challenging you to shake off your ugly flesh and turn inward towards the beauty of the King, and you are a reflection of the King, and you reflect the kingdom of God as you tap in and listen and release the word of the hour, whether it's to a coworker, your kids, you know, the grocery store attendant. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, people are desperate right now. They're desperate. They don't know what they're desperate for, but they're desperate because they've been lied to so long. But there's such an openness for a release of God's love. And it's not going to be the way that it used to be. You know, it's not going to be a tract handed out and call this number if you want prayer. It's one-on-one encounters in the grocery stores, on the hiking trails, in the library, in a church parking lot, a hotel hallway. I'm telling you, the old model is dead because the old model was a formula of a teaching that came through the Word of God, but through the flesh. And God is done with that. He is making way to be made way because he is the way maker. So, hallelujah. I'm feeling like, you know, I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing people. Some people are like in distress right now. They're heavy at heart. And, you know, God's making me go back and finish the story about the first time I entered the place of rest. And for me, I was sitting in a chair. I was praying with one other person. And just praying, you know, praying in the spirit, la 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 la, pray. And then all of a sudden, I came into this whoosh, like it was a, you know, like imagine swimming, going down a current, and then all of a sudden being taken by the current. It's different than when you're swimming with the current and then resting and letting the current take you. And that's what it felt like. I was like swimming, striving, praying in tongues, not knowing the difference back then, just doing it. And all of a sudden I entered this like current of rest in God. And I was like, you can't speak when you're in that place. It's like everything is just quiet, but so full of life and so alive, and you're so alive, and it's so wonderful. And then when I came out, I was like, what was that? And that was a place of rest in him. Now, it's different for everybody. You know, there's many ways. Now I can just close my eyes and enter that place of rest because it's my home now. Before, I visited. I didn't know how to go there all the time. I stumbled into it. And oftentimes in the spirit, you'll stumble into things because the kingdom is vast and we don't know all things about the kingdom. And so when I stumble into a room in heaven or I have an encounter with the Lord, you know, I never usually talk about him because I don't want my experiences to be doctrine. I don't want my experiences to lead people, but I want the word of God to teach and guide and lead people. So oftentimes I'll have an encounter and then I'll see it in the word. And so in my young days, I'm still young, but in my young days, you know, I remember one time I was praying in tongues and I got caught up and I was like in the river of God. The rivers of God are real. The water of heaven is wonderful and the current doesn't flow the way you think it does. And I was just floating on a raft with Jesus. And we went over one of those, what are those called? Waterfalls, yeah. And I remember thinking, and it was like so cool because what ended up happening is there was like this transformation that took place where that we meshed as one as we slammed into that water. And it was so refreshing and glorious. And, you know, that's an encounter I don't think I've ever shared. But what happened was there when encounters in the spirit are designed to strengthen you and bring direction. And so I don't just go and have an encounter just to have one. Like some people, oh, let's get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Let's, you know, let's act like drunks. You know, I see that a lot at conferences, not any that we have. We don't really allow people to act like they're spiritual when they're really in the flesh because the presence convicts them. We don't have to. The presence convicts people. And so usually at a conference where there's no presence or very little presence, you know, people will sometimes get weird because they want an encounter and they want an experience, and so they'll manufacture one, and then some people will never know the difference because they've been taught the fake is the real. And so we don't do that. If it's not the real Holy Ghost, please, we don't want any flesh. And so we've yielded and we yield to him, and so it gives people an opportunity to experience his presence. Sometimes it'll come as weightiness in the room, or sometimes it'll be a deep like, oh, I think I'm going to fall asleep, but it's really just his presence. And so that's why we encourage people to lay out, because sometimes people are so headstrong, they are so opinionated, they cannot make room for him. And so if they lay down, all of a sudden they might doze off and think they're sleeping, but really the Lord's having an encounter with them. And he may give it as a dream or a vision, but it's the only time that they're able to release themselves enough to allow him to do whatever or say whatever. And so that's why we don't care if people, you know, lay out on the floors, because, you know, to be comfortable is important when you're in spirit. And so some people like to lay out, some like to sit, some like to worship, some like to dance. It doesn't matter. He'll meet us anywhere and everywhere because he's so creative, and that's how he designed us. So, you know, water in the spirit is important. It helps strengthen our nutrients in our spirit man. And so I'm encouraging you to drink in his presence. And, you know, sometimes people will like drink a big old glass of water when they're hot and thirsty in the natural. Some people are so spiritually dry that it's important when you're in worship or when you're at a presence, when there's presence, just to let yourself rest. Means let your walls down and let him fill you. with his goodness. And you might feel it as like a rain coming upon you. You might feel it as a gushing wind. We won't limit what he does. But I always ask, is that you, Lord? I don't always ask anymore, but I used to, because sometimes I was like, is that the enemy? Am I trying to be tricked? And I don't want to be tricked. And so, God is so gracious. He will always tell if it's him. The enemy won't. But you know, if there's silence, it's probably the enemy or your flesh. But the Holy Spirit will always lead and guide you into all truth. So I encourage you to experience, let your spirit man open. You know, I see caps in here, and people are like, and here's the thing. Don't come up to me afterwards and ask me if that's you. Ask the Holy Spirit if that's you. Ask him. He'll tell you. You know, I like to say, when something's released, I go, Lord, is that me? And he'll say yes or no. I don't have to go to the speaker afterwards because I know his voice. So if you don't know his voice, I encourage you to pray in tongues, because that's how you'll get to know his voice, and through the word. You know, his sheep hear his voice. You're his sheep. You are a sheep. You are a little lamb. And the voice of a stranger, you don't know. Okay? So that's scriptural. So everyone is capable of hearing the voice of the Lord. Does it happen right away? No, like little babies, we have to be trained and we have to develop. And how do we do it? Pray in tongues. So right now, I release in here the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire, the baptism of boldness. I command every cap on your natural man to be loosed off in the name of Jesus. I command the blessing of the Lord to come forth. I command the caps of limitations to come off right now. I see right now I'm feeling resistance in this room by a few of you. Hallelujah. You're not resisting me. You're resisting the Lord. And I just want to warn you that the blessings are free. They're always good and they will never harm you. So by faith, receive what the Lord is releasing right now. Receive what the Lord is releasing right now. And Lord, I receive it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Anytime something is released from the throne, I receive it all in the name of Jesus. And I'm not afraid to say it out loud. I'm not afraid to take somebody else's if they don't want it. I don't want one precious drop to be wasted of what God is releasing. And because I'm going to give it away to somebody else. I'm not a hoarder. I'm a giver of all the good gifts. And so right now, I bless these people in here. I thank you that you are strengthening our frames and that you are bringing us to full alert and attention, not to be afraid or to be nervous. No, because we're your kids. And by the authority that you release through the cross, we receive every good thing, and we will decree every good thing, and we will see the goodness of the Lord throughout the land all the days of our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any questions on that? Yeah.
I've been praying a lot for interpretation.
Yeah.
And when you were saying that, it seemed like obviously the word says we're to desire the spiritual gifts, and I guess for a while I thought, well, God's only sort of given the interpretation to certain people, but like if we keep exercising and strengthening our spiritual muscles with the tongues, my assumption is that interpretation is going to come. He wants us to be able to interpret. So, I don't know, do you have any...
Okay, couple things. One, do you mean interpretation of other people's tongues or your own?
Whatever. Both.
Okay. Yeah. So, there's two different things going on here. One, if and this happens sometimes in a service, or, you know, somebody will all of a sudden have the word of the Lord and they'll release it in the spirit, you know, it'll be a prophetic word. Usually it's in tongues. And then there's like a wait to see if somebody has the interpretation of that. And here's the thing. This is what I believe. I believe if nobody releases that word, the person who gave it knows the word. And so they just haven't developed yet the balancing of the word of the Lord. And so that's one thing. Now, there's times when I'm praying in a group of people and we're praying in tongues out loud, I'll hear their tongue and I'll know what they're saying. And I'll think it's English because I have the interpretation of it, but it's a tongue. And so oftentimes I won't say what it is, you know, because it doesn't need to be said. So that's another way of you know, knowing the language, so to speak. And then the third thing is when I'm praying in tongues in my own house or in my car or whatever, and I'm shandale bandale bakoroto, oftentimes I may not know what I'm praying, but if I keep praying, I will see a picture, and it might be a picture of, you know, United States. It might be a picture of my kid. It might be a picture of whatever, a tree, whatever the Lord is. Then I'll know, oh, I'm praying on this. And so I may not hear the audible voice of God saying, you're praying on the nation. I may not hear the internal voice of the Holy Spirit, which says, you're praying on the nation. But I may see a picture of a flag, and I'll be like, oh, I'm praying on the nation. And if I don't see nothing, I don't care, because I'm doing what he asked me to do. And so I don't get hung up on what is this, what's being said, because I look at it this way. If he wants me to know, he'll tell me. And if I pray long enough, I'll figure it out. Because you usually, when you pray in tongues, it's not just you're throwing out some syllables. There's usually, it's usually structures are being built. Think of a puzzle. When you do a puzzle in the natural, you take it out of the box, you throw it on the table or tip it over, and the first thing you do is you sort all the pieces, and you put them in different sections. Maybe you get the ends, which are worth a quarter, by the way, if you play with us. the corners get a quarter, and then the edge, you know, is and we never pay up, by the way. the edge is you know, the next section, and then you start to see the pieces come together. It's the same thing when you pray in tongues. And what I mean by that is you're just like throwing your language out there. Shandale bandale. There's times when I get in the car, shandale bandale, koroto soko. I may not see nothing, hear nothing, or get nothing, but I know it's building up my spiritual muscles. And I'll sometimes say, Lord, is there anything specific you want me to pray on? And he might say, yeah, pray for, you know, the partners, or pray for the retreat coming up. And so then I'll just in tongues, shandale bandale, and I'll be praying, and I may see, oh, order a service, or oh, the soundboard, oh, or I might see the attendees, or oh, I might see a strategic plan of the enemy trying to come against people. And so what I'll do is I'll pray into what I see. It's kind of like building the puzzle, and then you'll see the picture usually when you're done, and you'll be like, oh, and that all started with one Shabba, you know, and then it built the corners, the edges, and the full picture. Does that make sense? So don't give up. And here's the thing. I always ask, you know, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm lazy and I just know, praying in tongues. Okay, I'm getting my boots on, I'm praying in tongues. And I don't even care what I'm praying. I'm just praying in tongues. And so I'll pray in tongues. And then all of a sudden I'll be like, oh. You know, sometimes I get like a message when I pray in tongues. I'll be like, oh, this is a teaching. You know, and I can't make that stuff up. That comes because I'm in the spirit praying in tongues. And then sometimes if he's given me something and I'm shandale bandale, and then I'll see like, you know, like he might teach me on, let's see, what's one of them? Orphan spirit. He was teaching me on orphan spirit a while back. And I'm praying in tongues, and I'm just praying in tongues, and then I heard orphan spirit. And then I started seeing in the spirit different people that struggled with those orphan spirits. And I'd be like, oh, I never saw that before. So I'd start praying for the people, and then I'd pray about the spirit behind it and try to dismantle that in the spirit. And so building a puzzle, not knowing what don't even have the box. I just have, oh, there's a corner, and it comes together. Oh, there's it is. And so I don't care for the outcome sometimes, but sometimes I do. Sometimes he'll give me an assignment. Like if I have a dream or a warning dream or a flash vision, and I'll be like, oh, okay. And the Lord will say, I want you to pray on that 6 hours, 12 hours, 18 hours, you know, and I'll be like, okay. And so what I'll do is I'll track my hours. And I use my phone to do that because I can't keep track. I think I can, but I never can. And so what I'll do is I'll, you know, like if I'm at a prayer meeting, I'll say, what do you want me to pray? And he'll say, pray on that warning. And so I'll spend time on that. I might spend a full hour. I might spend 2 hours. I might spend 10 minutes. And then I'll track it. And then in the car, I'll just keep chipping away. And that, it's like painting a house. It's not like building a puzzle. It's more like painting a house. You're getting it done for the Lord. So does that help you? Okay, who else? Come on. These are good questions. Come on. No more questions. Come on.
Effective if there's just one syllable.
Nope. Not at all. That's a lie from the enemy. One syllable is not going to make a difference. Oh, really? When did you become God? Lying devil. One syllable is one syllable, which is a stick of dynamite in heaven. So, yeah. Carries the same dunamis power. Boom! Instead of shaka boom, it's just sha. But the boom is still there. You just didn't hear it.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.